Welcome to God and Country Radio, a weekend program that discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. If you didn't notice, or you were in some cave somewhere, the election was this week, and given my constraints, I always find it necessary to record my programs about 6 days before they air on the radio. So I'm recording this program on Monday, the day before the election. Now, I'd love to give commentary on election results, but that's going to have to wait till next week. After the initial chaos has died down and we better know the situation. Besides, the purpose of this program is not to provide day-by-day commentary on events, but to provide biblical insights into the grand scheme of things. If you want a play-by-play commentary, there's plenty of other conservative news sites you can go to. Now, for this program, I want to set all of the election news aside and provide you with a program about biblical history. Commentary on the final four kings of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. God had pronounced judgment on the nation because of her sins. And in 586 BC, the Babylonian army would invade Jerusalem and level it to the ground, and there would be the great Babylonian exile of the Jews. But this whole event took place over 22 years, starting in 608 BC with the death of King Josiah, followed by four short-reigning evil kings, three sons of King Josiah and one grandson, Jehoaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. According to 1 Chronicles 3:15, Josiah had three sons who became king. So those are historical facts. But the moral spiritual lesson embodied in this history is the story of how God gave the political leadership of Israel time to repent. But instead, over this 22-year period, these kings and the people continued to disobey God, and hence ran the nation off the cliff. God was gracious and continually gave them a chance to be delivered from judgment, but they continually rejected the word of the Lord. The disaster was their own doing. Jeremiah 2:19, their own apostasies reproved them. Now, the history of these final four kings is very, very complicated. Very few evangelical Christians know the details of this history, even very few pastors and Bible teachers. I would imagine that in a mega church of 2,000 Christians, I could pretty much guarantee you not one person could tell you the story of these kings, let alone give the names of the last four kings of Israel. Mostly because the history is not neatly packed together, like the other kings in the book of Kings and Chronicles. One has to piece all the information together from portions in the book of Jeremiah. And the book of Jeremiah is not always chronological. Plus, these kings have multiple names. But the history is worth knowing, especially as America enters her last days. These historical narratives teach us about God's ways and the ways of sinful humanity in days leading up to judgment. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, for whatever was written in earlier times, this Old Testament history, was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. And 1 Corinthians 10:6, now these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things, as they also craved. These Old Testament stories are timeless lessons, types, patterns that will be repeated again in the future. And if we're to discern the signs of the times today, knowing the history of the final four kings of Israel is essential. 1 Chronicles 12:32, the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. So hold on to your hat. We have a lot to cover. In my extended video version of this program on YouTube and Rumble, You'll be able to see all of the charts and the verses, and that can be quite a help in learning all of this material. So the judgment upon Israel started in 608 BC with the death of the righteous King Josiah. He reigned over Israel for about 32 years. And the irony is that in Israel's final days of apostasy, God put over Israel the most righteous king Israel ever had. And he reestablished the worship of God and the law of God in the land. And he purged Israel of Baal worship, their child sacrifice, their abortion, their immorality. 2 Kings 23, before him, King Josiah, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with all of his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him. But while Josiah was a righteous king, the people and the rest of the administration were corrupt and immoral. Josiah was imposing morality upon the nation, a morality and a fidelity to God that was not in the hearts of the people. And the corruption in the land is clearly seen in the fact that Josiah's own sons, the final four kings, were evil. Even his own administration and his family was evil. The very fact that Josiah was a righteous man in that generation, and he came to power, was a miracle of God. And such is the new birth, and those regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Now, my guess is that God set up Josiah to show the people the blessings of righteousness that they could have. One cannot choose rightly unless one knows the alternatives. And through Josiah, God showed the people what could be. But in the end, the majority did not want God's righteous ways. Jeremiah chapter 6, stand by the way and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. You'll find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. And I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. The watchmen referred to the prophets and godly leadership like King Josiah. Now, notice in America, we have a choice. God has raised up many conservative voices, and the people have been given a choice to vote for the law of nature and nature's God, or for lawlessness. So in 608 BC, Josiah dies in a battle, the Battle of Carchemish. He failed to consult God, and hence made a foolish decision. Josiah and the Israeli army tried to stop Egypt from coming to support the Assyrian Empire in the Assyrians' battle against the Babylonian Empire. Assyria was a longtime enemy of Israel, and Josiah and the Jews were rooting for the defeat of the Assyrians. And so Israel didn't want Egypt to help Assyria in the battle against Babylon, so Israel was in effect coming to the aid of Babylon. Now, Necho, Pharaoh of Egypt, warned Josiah not to interfere, but Josiah didn't listen. What can we learn from this? Notice how civic leaders can be blinded by political hubris. Assuming they know the right way to handle geopolitical politics, Josiah and the Jews had no idea that Babylon would become a greater threat than Assyria. So at first, Israel supported the very evil nation that would destroy them. The lesson? Stop relying on your own wisdom and seek the counsel of the Lord. Just assume that your own reasoning will be wrong. So Josiah dies in battle. And what a grief this was for the few righteous people there were in Israel. They finally get a righteous king and now he's gone. And the prophet Jeremiah led a mourning for Josiah, 2 Chronicles 35. Also Proverbs chapter 29, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. So yes, this was a disappointment for the righteous. But God actually had a better plan to judge the wicked of the nation and deliver the righteous, although it would be painful to live through. Josiah, now being dead, the people set up his son, Shallum, to be the king, and they changed his name to Jehoaz. The J-E-H-O is a reference to Jehovah, the God of Israel, which the people thought was a better name for a king of Israel. But Jehoaz only reigned for 3 months, because during that time, the Egyptians, who had defeated the Israelite army, were working their way toward Jerusalem. And when they entered Jerusalem, they put Israel under the authority of Egypt, making Israel a vassal nation, and they set up their own king over Israel, one they believed would submit to the Egyptian occupation. Now, at this time, the prophet Jeremiah prophesied the fate of Jehoaz, Jeremiah chapter 22, that he would be imprisoned in Egypt and never return to Israel. Why the punishment? Because 2 Kings 23 says, Jehoaz, the first of the four final kings of Israel, did evil in the sight of the Lord. But you ask, how could he do evil in the sight of the Lord in just 3 months? Well, his whole life was in view. And my guess is that as the son of the king, by age 23, he had already lived a life of immorality and misuse of power. He already showed a disregard for the ways of the Lord. Therefore, his fate was already sealed. And such is the life of all those who disregard the ways of the Lord. Whatever success they appear to achieve in life is really short-lived. The judgment of God is coming. In Jeremiah chapter 22, the prophet Jeremiah described the sins of Jehoaz and his other brothers who would take the throne. Jeremiah 22:13, woe to him who builds his house without righteousness and his upper rooms without justice, who uses his neighbor's service without pay and does not give him his wages, who says, I will build for myself a roomy house with spacious upper rooms and cut out its windows, panel it with cedar and paint it bright red. Do you become a king because you are competing in cedar? Did your father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? Then it was well with him. He pleaded the cause of the afflicted and needy. Then it was well. Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord? But your eyes and your heart are intent only upon your own dishonest gain and on shedding innocent blood and on practicing oppression and extortion. So they built their houses by illicit gain. They took pride in their wealth. So after 3 months of rule, the Egyptians entered and imprisoned Jehoaz. And they set up Jehoaz's brother, Eliakim, who was renamed Jehoiakim, as king. Now, why wouldn't they set up an Egyptian to rule? Well, because they needed someone who is Jewish, one accepted by the people, who spoke the language, but who would submit to Egypt. Now, it wasn't long after Jehoiakim was set up by the Egyptians that the Babylonians drove the Egyptians out of Israel and took Israel over as their own vassal nation. They left Jehoiakim on the throne, being assured that he would now operate under the authority of Babylon. Now we read in 2 Kings that Jehoiakim reigned for 11 years. But like his brother, the previous king Jehoaz, Jehoiakim also did evil in the sight of the Lord. 2 Kings 23:36, Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his fathers had done. Now God continually sent the prophet Jeremiah to tell Jehoiakim to submit to the Babylonian occupation, that this was God's chastisement on Israel, and that Israel would serve Babylon for 70 years. But Jehoiakim had no belief in Jehovah or regard for the prophets of Jehovah. In Jeremiah 26:18, he had Jeremiah put on trial for speaking against his policies. And Jehoiakim personally had the prophet Uriah put to death. In Jeremiah 36, when Jeremiah came with the word of the Lord on a scroll, King Jehoiakim cut it up with a knife and threw it into the fireplace. So we can sum up Jehoiakim's life as the king who would not listen to God, but continued with his own policy, which would ultimately destroy the nation. And it's very helpful to know the excuses or the reasons why Jehoiakim would not listen to God. even as politicians today have all sorts of rationale. First, there were false prophets who were saying that God wanted Israel to take a stand, to be free, and to rebel against Babylon. Second, Jehoiakim was working with other nations, like Egypt and Edom and the Moabites, in collaboration to overthrow Babylon. As if there would be strength in numbers, and they took this alliance as God's sign that God wanted them to overthrow Babylon. But really, the core reason why Jehoiakim and the whole administration fell for these lies and these false prophecies is that they had a very low view of Israel's sin. Therefore, they couldn't accept the fact that God would be judging Israel with 70 years under Babylon. By refusing to accept the reality and the seriousness of national sin, they believed the lie that God wanted Israel to rebel against Babylon, to throw off what they should have considered God's righteous chastisement. So wrong policy came out of their disbelief in sin. And Jehoiakim held to a type of prosperity gospel. He proclaimed solemn assemblies and fasting before the Lord. But he overemphasized God's blessing and prosperity and underemphasized God's holiness and discipline. So during Jehoiakim's reign, in the third year of his 11-year reign, he refused to pay tribute to Babylon, and the Babylonian army came into Jerusalem and exiled many Jews to Babylon. This is where Daniel and his three friends were taken to Babylon. This was 605 BC, the first deportation of the Jews, and two more deportations would follow. Now, the chastisement of God was only to serve Babylon 70 years. Even in this judgment, the Jews did not have to go into exile, nor did Jerusalem have to burn to the ground. But by the people's continual rebellion against God's word, the chastisement became more severe. Now, for whatever reasons, the Babylonians left Jehoiakim on the throne. I'm sure he gave them assurance that he would submit. But as soon as Babylon left, Jehoiakim continued to work to defeat Babylon, using what was left with the Israeli army. So the Babylonians returned once again, invaded Israel, bringing about a second deportation. Jeremiah prophesied about Jehoiakim that nobody is going to mourn his death, and he will be buried with a donkey's burial, dragged off and thrown out beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Now, Jehoiakim likely went out to Nebuchadnezzar in some battle and died. And between the death of Jehoiakim and the Babylonians breaching the walls of Jerusalem, the people set up Jehoiachin to be king, the son of Jehoiakim and the grandson of Josiah. Now, are you getting all this? First, there is Jehoaz, then Jehoiakim, then Jehoiachin. I know it sounds like some type of North Korean dynasty, all of these Kims and Chins. But anyway, Jehoiachin only gets to reign for 3 months as the Babylonians are bearing down on Judah. The good news for Jehoiachin is he gets to be the next king of Israel. But the bad news is he's going to be the Jewish king on the throne when the Babylonians overrun the city. Now, the people were hoping that God would bring about a miracle for them and the Babylonians would be defeated and Jehoiachin would continue on. But Jeremiah prophesied to the contrary. As I live, declares the Lord, even though Kaniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were my signet ring on my right hand, I would pull you off and I will give you over to the hand of those who are seeking your life. Yes, into the hand of those whom you dread, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And I will hurl you and your mother, who bore you, into another country where you were not born, and there you will die. Now, Jeremiah calls him Kaniah. It appears that Jeremiah is dropping the Jehovah part of his name, so that his name doesn't mean Jehovah establishes, but just establishes. And even though he's of the kingly line of David, even if he had the status of being God's own signet ring, God would throw him off. Because according to 2 Chronicles 36, Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like his father Jehoiakim and his uncle Jehoaz. And with Jehoiachin is the famous prophecy that Jehoiachin would never have a child. Jeremiah 22, "Thus saith the Lord, write this man down as childless, a man who will not prosper in his day, for no man of his descendants will prosper sitting on the throne of David or ruling again in Judah." And this was the curse on the Davidic line. And this would actually invalidate Jesus' right to be the king of Israel, except for the fact that Jesus' true father was not Joseph in the line of Jehoiachin, but God was his father. And we'll talk more about that story when we get closer to Christmas. So the Babylonians carry Jehoiachin off to prison in Babylon. But when Jehoiachin is 54 years old, the Babylonians release him from prison, Jeremiah 52. And here we see the grace of God and the beginning of the restoration of Israel. But after invading Jerusalem and deposing Jehoiachin, the Babylonians set up Zedekiah to be the king of Israel, another one of Josiah's sons. It's easy to remember that the last king of Israel's name begins with a Z. He reigns for 11 years, but he too was inspired to join an alliance to rebel against the Babylonian Empire, and he ignored the prophecies of Jeremiah. He actually secretly asked for counsel from Jeremiah. And Jeremiah gives him the hope of life and the saving of Jerusalem if he just surrenders to the Babylonians. But Zedekiah didn't follow through with the counsel because he feared what the Babylonians might do to him if he surrendered. And he feared what the elders of Israel would do to him if he didn't continue to rebel against Babylon. Zedekiah was a puppet king for the Jewish elders. He even said to the elders, "The king can do nothing against you." Zedekiah's soul was lost because he was a coward, too fearful of men, and very little fear of the Lord. So in the end, the Babylonians breached the wall of Jerusalem and entered the city for a third time. Three strikes and you're out. The Babylonians leveled the city and no more Israel. 2 Kings 25, and they captured the king and brought him to the king of Babylon, and he passed sentence on him, and they slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. Then they put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with bronze fetters and brought him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar burned the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem, even every great house he burned with fire. And so all the armies of the Chaldeans who were with the captain of the guard broke down the walls around Jerusalem. This is the tragic end of those who do not listen to God or obey his word. And this doesn't just apply to nations, it applies to every individual. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will also reap. But recognize also in all this, God was saving the true believers from the sins of the nation. He was purging the nation of evil people in answer to their prayer. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment." You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The extended video version of this program is at my YouTube and Rumble channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. The website for all of the links is godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Stand firm in the faith regardless of the civil leaders. May Jesus Christ reign.